Mr. A here, saying, how y'all doing?
Yo! Are you ready to rumble? Or should I say tumble? Cause I don't stumble or fumble like a cracker by a gumball. Standing on the ground, flat feet,
welcome to the Rumble. We are back and better than ever, helping you stay ready so you don't have to get ready. We don't want you sucker punched, so we're here each and every week helping you keep your guard up. I am Jeremy Lavelle with Remedy Claims Consulting at Claims Coach on Instagram and TikTok, and they just call me the Mouth of the South. And alongside of me is the Catastrophe Queen and the Claims Dame, Miss Jessica Odell. And as always, the notoriously nocturnal and the naturally nascent, the one, the only, Baby Cakes, Miss Donna Lavelle. How's everybody doing?
Awesome.
Good. Hey, you should give definitions of the words that you use.
Nocturnal means nightly.
Well, I know that. Okay. Nascent.
Nascent means you are just now beginning to show signs of your full potential.
Oh, cool. So you should have those ready.
Yeah, okay. Look, you're the one with the fun facts.
Yeah, but you have the fun fact that I don't know about.
I'm not trying to not steal your thunder. Speaking of fun facts.
Oh, hey, I have some fun facts. Fun Facts with Baby Cakes is brought to you by Inc., the best way to get paid after a property claim. Inc., save time, get paid. I want to tell you a story that starts in the late 1880s in Paris, France. There were some people walking by the river Seine, I guess that's how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. They come across a body floating in the river. So they go, the lady apparently drowned. So they go and fish the body out.
That's what I would do if I saw a body. Is go mess with it. Go play with it. Yeah, that's the first thing on the top of them. Not scream for help.
Well, they didn't know she drowned until they pulled her out, I guess.
Okay.
So they find her and they pull her out. this isn't even funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. Because you're making me laugh.
Sorry.
Okay. So they pull her out and they bring her body to a morgue in Paris. And the pathologist is taken very off guard when he sees her face because she's almost smiling and she looks very peaceful. So he decides to create a plaster death mask of her face. And it ends up being a mask that becomes popular for people to wear. In 1958, two inventors, Peter Safar and Asmund Lernoff, decide to use the mask on their new creation, which makes it become the most kissed face on Earth. Their creation was the CPR dummy. So that's her face.
You know, there's an episode of The Office that I love. Where Dwight cuts the face off the CPR dummy and thinks he's Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. I have a joke to make up for that, for the fun fact that I stumbled through.
Oh, well, you didn't stumble it off, but you did great. I mean, if we were on TV, we would see the dead body floating in the river and then just scream and we would go to commercial. So we could go back and do it again and that could be fun.
Now, did you hear about Elton John's pet rabbit that he used to take to the gym?
Of course I heard about his pet rabbit that he took to the gym, but what did you hear about it?
It's a little fit bunny. Okay. Now you know, knowing is half the bullshit.
Well, I wish I knew less sometimes. Well, guys, we are fresh off of Control the Narrative, and many much other industry events have gone on right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Right after Control the Narrative, we had a Claim Wizard event. We're also smack dab at the recording of this in the middle of Win the Storm. I realize you guys don't hear this till just about a week afterwards, but man, it has been a whirlwind of things that have been going on. But today's show, actually, I am going to throw the keys over to my lovely co-host and also the person that helped me teach Control the Narrative. It was really a lot of fun. Jess came in and taught on the final demand. And that event was really good. And I just we're going to take a moment to kind of update you and maybe give you a little bit of history on the whole idea behind it. We thought we would dedicate an entire show to, all things Control the Narrative. And hopefully we'll learn a little bit while we're at it. But Jess is going to essentially be driving the bus today. I am I'm looking forward to it, and we're going to get started. I guess we're just going to go ahead and dive in. I don't have any fun little quips or anything unless somebody wants to add something, Other than that, we're going to get going. Round one starts right after this.
Public adjusters, listen up. It's Jeremy Lavelle, owner of Remedy Claims Consulting, host of The Rumble, and most importantly, your claims coach. Public adjuster training is one of the hardest things to find. Sure, you can take some online seminars, you can show up to conferences, but none of them tailor training just for you until now. Whether you need to learn how to estimate, scope, negotiate, or prospect, I can help you drill down on the skills you want to develop. Maybe you're just starting out and you need to learn the claims process from A to Z, or you're just wanting help on strategy on a specific claim. I can help you find the traction you were looking for and learn how to truly control the narrative in the ever-changing world of claims. You can reach out to me directly at 888-596-8772, or you can find me on the web at remedyclaims.com and just click Get Started. That's 888-596-8772 or remedyclaims.com and click Get Started. You can even shoot me an email at jeremy@remedyclaims.com. That's J-E-R-O-M at remedyclaims.com. It's time to move your career to the next level.
Round one. What is control the narrative? Like, how did this thing come to be exactly?
So, you know, that's a really good question. I think actually the very first iteration of it, believe it or not, I did a web video, and I can't remember if I did it for the Pain of the Claim channel or if I did it for Vince Perry's channel on the Commercial Claims Advocate, but I titled it that. And essentially what it was just kind of how I saw the claims process. And I think you can either look on the Pain of the Claim channel or on Vince Perry's channel and find a video entitled Control the Narrative. I'm not real sure where it's at. If one of you wants to dig into YouTube and figure out where it might be, we might even be able.
I know it's on Vince's.
Is it on Vince's?
I know it's on Vince's channel.
So, if it's on Vince, that's who I did it for. Because I was doing some videos for Commercial Claims Advocate for a while. Maybe we can drop that link in the description and you can go check that out. But that was really kind of the first thing. And I just kind of talked about, it was really mostly centered around documentation. And that is where, I mean, because that's basically how I learned. Everything that I learned was centered around documentation. And when I was being trained as an independent adjuster, I mean, before we had a job, we were threatened with our job. Like if you couldn't prove it, then you were going to get sent home and you were never going to be rehired again. And all of this effort that you've learned to become an adjuster is just going to be all for naught. Right. And, you know, you're going to have a hard time with quality control and, you know, no carriers are going to hire you. And so there was this heavy amount of fear that I had kind of going into it, that, or at least maybe not fear, but a lot of anxiety that went into it. And I remember when I was sort of in, because I went and I took my pre-licensing course, and of course I took and passed my test. And it wasn't like I went to Pearson VUE to sit for the test. Actually, the course that I took provided me with their exam. Oh. And I did very well. And it's a lot like if you go to Adjuster Pro, for those of you who have gone through the Adjuster Pro class where you watch it online or you listen to it, you take the test. It's a lot like that because the instructor generally has to submit what he's teaching and then the test that's taken. You got to cover all of this different stuff. But I did really well on the test that they gave me. I can tell you that the Adjuster Pro test is significantly harder than the test that I took. But I actually made 100 on my test, believe it or not, on my independent adjuster's exam. And independent adjuster's exam has a lot of other stuff like workers' comp and liability and bodily injury and just a lot of other lines of claim. I mean, if it can be claimed, you know, we didn't study over death claims or anything like that, but we did have just about any other kind of claim that you can think of, car, whatever the case may be, because you're an adjuster for all of those things. And so, basically, when I took a basic course, it was centered around, you know, homeowners claims or property claims and how they taught us to take pictures and how to estimate. And it was just this 1 week, 5 day course where they basically gave you, they called it their basic course. And the name of the company that I took it through was called AMCAT, independent. It was an independent adjusting firm. And I went and took their little course, and based on how you did in that course, they would offer you a spot on their roster, and they ranked you on the results of this course. And it was 1 through 5, 5 being the best, 1 being you need a lot of work. Well, I did very well in that course and I got put on their roster, and I still had a whole lot to learn, I realized. But in the course, they basically broke a claim down into different sections, which would be the estimate, the photographs, the general loss report, and basically the sketch. Those 4 things are what they taught you. And so each night you would go home, you would have to practice that one of those elements that they taught you. And they taught you a little bit of policy kind of all the way through it. But at home, you would have to do that. And I remember the first time when they gave us a general loss report to write, I went home and I wrote a very extensive general loss report. In fact, I took from about 7 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the morning writing this general loss report, which included literally every line item in my estimate, explaining exactly why that line item was there. And granted, it was overkill, but I was so focused on making sure that I would be able to be employed by them afterwards. But I carried that with me. And for several storms, even after that, I wrote these long books, and I finally, and it would be like, due to the drywall being removed, insulation will fall from the ceiling and will then need to be cleaned up and placed into a job site waste container and then be replaced. After the drywall is repaired, access to the attic will be needed in order to replace the blown in insulation. And I would write that in my narrative. Mm-hmm. And finally, I had a storm supervisor that was kind enough. He goes, man, you got to quit writing these books. If they want to know what your recommendations are, they can read your estimate.
You're too much. And
he was considering, well, and I mean, if you've ever talked to me, you know, I'm a lot anyway. So, I tailored that down. He was a lot more colorful than they can read your estimate. There were certain expletives that were inserted there that I will save our audience from in the event that they're listening in the car with their children.
Explicative.
So I began to reform it, and it was from really that point in time that I realized how important not only documenting, like with photographs, but documenting my reason and why I was doing what I was doing. Now, I wanted to be able to explain that. And so the very first thing that they taught us in that course was how to photograph, arrange those photographs, and caption and label those photographs. And I was very anal about the thing. You know what I mean? I wanted to make sure that I was using the proper professional, technical vernacular that made me appear to be professional in what I was doing. I don't ever take just a picture of the living room and go living room. I would say overview of the living room. At one point in time, I was overview of the living room from the northwest corner, and I finally dropped that off. And
you've gone through this, you know, you've been fear or fearful that you'd lose your job, right? Or that you wouldn't
just
have
more detail coins. Mattered to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to be able to be employed. So I took all of this necessity for detail, and I really took it to heart. And it basically informed how I was going to approach claims for the rest of my career and how I still approach claims, right?
Right.
I taught things in Control the Narrative just this past week on that I learned right there in that class, right? You know, and again, over the years, I have expanded and learned more and, you know, understood more of, because I was taking overview pictures, not realizing even what all needed to be in that picture. I knew I just took it from one corner and I wanted to take a caddy corner to the other corner. And so that I was getting as much information as I could. And so that attention to detail mattered to me. And so in the first iteration of Control the Narrative, I realized that many contractors and public adjusters never went through this adjuster training. And so what I wanted to do is just offer that there was a way to do this. Go ahead.
To be clear, independent adjusters are not being trained this way anymore.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's clear.
As best as I can tell, based on the work product that I'm seeing, yeah, they're certainly not threatened like I was. You know, I can say for sure that they're not being threatened the way that I was. You know, I think the main focus with independent adjusters is getting it turned in quickly. I think that that's their primary focus at this point in time. And I'm not even sure they're paid the same way that I was. I was paid based on the size of the claim that I wrote. We were on tiers. And those of you who came from the independent adjusting world or are still in the independent adjusting world, I know that they've changed it. If they're still paying you based on the tier system, it's probably much lower now than I was being paid 10 and 12 years ago. It has significantly gone down amongst the people that I have talked to that are still in it. And that was really sort of what informed and shaped. I mean, that was the embryo that was sort of birthed in my brain. And that's the way I've approached it ever since. And when I got into the public adjusting and contracting world, I realized that this information had never been communicated to the people that were trying to represent the homeowner. And the first iteration of it was still very much in line of how do we play the carrier's game? And how do I make sure that when they see my report, it is being graded at a level compared to what the independent adjuster maybe turn in? I was still leaving a lot of the decision making power in their lap and in their hands. And over the past two or three years, I realized through my own application of what I taught or what I'm teaching now, that there was a much better way to do this.
So
in fact, go ahead.
What motivated you to say, you know what, like, what was that moment or what were you doing in that moment? You just said, you know what, it's me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put this together. I'm going to call it this. Like what served as that inspiration to just put you right over
it? Well, really, I'm not saying I'm the first person to do this or the first person to think about this. What I am saying is that it dawned on me all by myself. And there's a program out there called Sumo Quote that I used to put together like this entire full report. And it, you know, included my proof of loss, my estimate, all of my documentation, the sketch, photographs, labeled the whole nine yards. And I turned it in and I did this three different times. And all three times, and one of them is what's known as a very difficult carrier today that a lot of people don't like. All three times, they didn't even come out and inspect it. They just wrote a check for the full amount of my ask. And I was like, okay, I've got something here. And that is really and truly what began to inform me. And I literally dug into the policy and realized that the whole idea behind a claim, and I'm using other people's words now, is a claim is a demand for payment, and realizing that that demand has to have some weight behind it. It can't just be a phone call to say some bad stuff happened to me.
Right.
And as I began to learn a lot more, now, since I even began this and tried this for the first time, things have become considerably more contentious, because this is, even when I first did this, was prior to the pandemic. And it has significantly changed a lot since then, you know, and the cost of insurance and their comparative ratio or their loss ratio on, you know, for every dollar of, and basically that ratio states this, you know, for every dollar of premium they take in, they're spending $1.01 in claims or whatever the case may be. So they're spending more in claims and they're collecting in premium. So, but understand this, insurance companies make money on things other than premium. Let's be clear about that. Many of them are publicly traded. Okay. Many of them have stockholders that they deal with. Many of them have other interests, and homeowners and auto is just one line of what they carry, because they have bonds. They have, you know, some of them even have, you know, lines of health insurance. I don't even want to get into life insurance that is attached to different variable opportunities within, you know, the stock market, mutual funds. And so they're bringing in a fair amount of money on other lines. So that it's not just because they're having to pay out $1.01 for every dollar of premium they take in on homeowners. They're making lots of money. It's just a line of business or a line of effort that they have here that is not as profitable. But we all have loss leaders, right? Every one of us, everyone that's running a business has something called a loss leader. And what the insurance companies do, and I realize insurance companies want to be profitable in every line of business. And it was in that original control the narrative. And even before I did this for commercial claims advocate, I did something called insurance is a product, not a service. And I've said it 1,000 times on this show alone, that insurance is a product, not a service. But what they're sold during cute commercials of the Super Bowl, or while they're watching 60 Minutes, or, you know, during a football game, they're sold that insurance is a service. And in fact, the way that you grade the service is how quickly they write you a check. And that is a scheme of the carrier to fool you into thinking that they're handling your claim properly. When it's not proper, it's just simply quick. And most people grade their insurance company on how quickly they pay a claim. And because these things happen so quick, it even affects the way contractors think when you get a public adjuster involved in the amount of documentation that we provide in order to take a claim from $15,000 to $180,000. And what all of that work is to be done. And even though that they understand that there's a distance to be carried, this is a whole new undertaking. And so that's essentially where it came from. And how it came to be, because I simply boil it down into this one sentence. I knew that if we were ever going to get anything, we had to quit playing defense and start playing offense, because we are the ones, and the homeowners are the ones with the demand for payment and the claim. It's their claim. And carriers, I knew what they want to do is they want to come out and tell you what you're allowed to claim and what it's worth.
Yeah, no conflict of interest there. None.
And that's like asking a criminal how long he'd like to go to jail for,
right?
You know, or how long your kid would like to be grounded for, you know, when they stole the car on Friday night.
A weekend, no video games.
Yeah, what's that? There's actually
it's fun to do bad things.
It's fun to do bad things. I like to do hood rat things with my friends. That kind of, there's an actual video on that. Anyway, but that's what happened, and that's essentially how it came to be. And that's where control the narrative came from. And it certainly has grown and matured since and over that. So, you know, over that time into the full thing that we did, just a little over a week ago. But we're going to be talking some more about control the narrative and what comes, because round two starts right after this.
One of the most difficult claims you can work is a contents claim. It requires extreme detail and significant documentation. Ricky McGregor with Monarch Claim Services is the expert you need on your side. She will handle on-site evaluation, inventory, photo documentation, pricing, and overall contents claim organization. She will work with your team beginning to end so you can focus on the rest of the claim. Do your client a favor and call Ricky McGregor with Monarch Claim Services. You can reach her at 515-783-1434. That's 515-783-1434, or find her on the web at monarchclaimservices.com.
Round two. Who is control the narrative for, and why?
Well, Jess,
I guess first would
you
be,
sat in the class.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I guess first it could be like, what professions maybe would benefit from control the narrative?
Well, I would like to throw it to one of the people that sat in the class that assisted me to teach it, that heard the material from begin. I mean, I know who I think it's for, but I mean, you and Donna, I mean, Donna, poor Don, God, poor Donna, poor baby Case, the amount that she's had to listen to, the number of times that she's gone through this training while I'm talking to other people on the phone. And then Jess, of course, I would love to hear from you guys. Who do you think would benefit from it? So, I mean, I've done a lot of talking.
Definitely contractors.
Do you have more than that? Why it would be good for contractors?
Because they are in the insurance game, whether they want to be or not.
Yeah, if they're a contractor doing any kind of insurance work, I mean, we say it all the time as public adjusters, not every claim needs a PA. Not every troublesome claim. Like, there's it's been delayed, it's been whatever. Not all the time does a claim need a PA. But those times that it does not... You know, how do we help the contractors get, quote unquote, unstuck? They're stuck in a claim. They've hit the wall with this adjuster or that adjuster, the guidelines, whatever the case may be. And I do. I think this class helps a lot with that. I don't think it's just a public adjuster course whatsoever. It's controlling the narrative. It helps get
control back to the...
Yeah, controlling the narrative applies to anybody that has a stake in the claim.
Can I ask you guys this? Do you think that there is a way that we could frame this that would be beneficial for homeowners? Or do you think that it's just, I certainly don't want to eliminate my educated and informed homeowners out there. You know what I mean? I don't know how many of them would, you know, spend an entire day learning about insurance. But
I think that you could do something like it, but not as long.
I think I could get
not as in depth.
Yeah, maybe an hour or two or something like that at your local HOA meeting.
Yep. I was going to say like an hour, kind of a lunch and learn, like that when public adjusters get with contractors, you know, or go to attorneys' offices, or sometimes the attorneys will have their own lunch and learn. And it's usually about an hour, sometimes two, depending on if they have multiple speakers or whatever. But I would think especially if it's an online platform, if I'm a homeowner that's just wanting to YouTube or Google, you know, how do I help unstick my claim? This is my problem. I think going to a channel where there's maybe 30-minute or 1-hour snippets.
That's a great idea. I don't hate that. You know, maybe doing some online YouTube stuff for homeowners.
Royalties later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did I hear royalty? If you're a Shark Tank fan, you know what I'm talking about.
There's a lot of people that are like, you know what, if I watch maybe an hour of YouTube, maybe I can figure this out myself, you know, and then when I get stuck, I can reach out to that channel, that expert.
Well, and I think the biggest thing that I would want to relate to homeowners is that insurance, in fact, is not a service. It is a product. And so that product needs to perform in the way that you want it to perform, you know. But I think I was just talking to a buddy of mine who is, I want to tell you guys, is a fantastic agent. And one of the things he's getting a certification in within the brokerage that he works in is he's trying to work with these high level or high value homes that start at like $2.5 million and work with these different carriers that handle them. There's a smattering of carriers out there. I can think of four or five off the top of my head that handle them. Probably the most popular or the most ubiquitous would be Chubb, but then there's Pure in Cincinnati and there's a few others out there that handle these high level ones. But he was sitting there and he was asking me some just general questions about policies and endorsements. And he said, I have sat in hours and hours and hours and hours of training and no one has ever told me what you just told me. And he goes, what you tell me makes complete and total sense. Now, there's a level of my ability to explain some things that may be better than the instructors that he had, but they're not even breaching the subject. And so I would dare say, you know, for you guys that are brokers and agents trying to keep your clients in a very tough market, it wouldn't hurt you maybe to dial into that YouTube channel and look at some things. And maybe I can start doing some stuff there. So I think I'm getting into round three stuff now. But anyway, you know, when you do anything, you kind of hope that you're doing all things for all people, but you don't always, you can never pull that off. So, who else do you think it would be for, Jess, after sitting in the class yourself? And you have worked in many, you've worn many hats in the claims arena, right? Yep. You've worn many, many hats in the different things that you do from an operational standpoint. I mean, you know, of all the things that you've done, where do you think it would, who all do you think it would benefit?
I think it would, it benefits the new public adjuster that just went and got their license and they're like, okay, now what? Because, you know, the license only teaches you about policy. It doesn't teach you about the actual claims process and how to process a claim from start to finish. This does help. It does go from, we talk a little bit about intake, right? Customer service and all that, you know, the interview of the client. And then you even talk about the adjuster interview, which I thought was genius in terms of controlling that narrative. And then you walk it through the field. I guarantee you even some seasoned PAs took away some nuggets of information from, you know, doing an inspection. And then the desk adjusting side, which is the part that I find a lot of public adjusters hate. you do cover that, and you do explain.
I hate the desk adjusting. I hate that part personally. I mean, the part that I like is the sales. I like the initial investigation and the conversation. Yeah. That's the part that I really enjoy. You know what I mean? As a public adjuster, that's the part that I like figuring out and basically the development of strategy. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to do. And then turn my team loose on it. That's what I like to do. I mean, that is literally the very, I get chill bumps thinking about, I have chill bumps right now. Yeah. Like, yep. There they go. Right down my shoulder. There we go. There they are. Okay. Anyway.
So I think in terms of level of experience, I think there's a little bit for everyone to gain. To get out of that. And then, you know, bringing in some of the guest speakers, Inc., Steve Patrick, the attorneys, you know, and letting people hear straight from their mouths as well in their lanes and their roles and responsibilities within the claim process. I think too, that made it very, like, literally something for everyone in that course.
I think it's good for the new public adjuster. I do. I think guys that are jumping the fence from being independent adjusters into becoming public adjusters.
That's great.
Because the one thing I didn't know when I became a public adjuster was I moved into a situation where I didn't realize what the workload per claim was.
Right.
That was something that I didn't figure. I mean, I essentially just attacked public adjusting the same way that I attacked field adjusting. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I turned in my four little things, my sketch and my, you know, my estimate and my photograph and my field report. Yep. I turned those things in, which I'm going to tell you that is more than a lot of public adjusters turn in. You know what I mean? I can tell you most of them, you're lucky to get an estimate and a labeled photo report. Most of the time you just get photos and an estimate, and then it's, you know, you hear they're ready to go to war and argue, you know, whatever it is that they're going to argue, and, you know, and their favorite argument is, well, show me that in the policy. Well, I mean, it's a way to go. You know what I'm saying? But
you still have to prove the loss.
Yeah, you still got to prove it, right? You still got to prove it. I mean, you know, and proof is not that you know how to estimate for it. There's just more to it than that. And that was the thing that I wasn't prepared for, because as an independent adjuster, while I thought that I was proving the loss, do you know what I mean? Like, yep. I honestly went out there and my heart was towards the homeowner. Let me, and I had homeowners tell me when I was working up in the Northeast, well, my son-in-law told me I should hire a public adjuster. And I straight up told him, like, you don't need a public adjuster. You got me.
Right.
I have no interest in saving this company money. None. You know what I mean? In fact, I'm paid based on the size of the claim that I have. So point at whatever you want to point at. I'm here to make sure you get paid for stuff, you know? I was also very open with, there are certain things they let me do. There are certain things they don't let me do. You know what I mean? But there's also something called the supplement process, you know, I mean, and I was very open about my decision-making power that I, you know, there was some things I could do and there were some things I couldn't do, But I mean, I would tell everyone, of course, my opinion of public adjusters when I, you know, first started was very low, very, very low. I thought that they were all snakes. And I remember if it weren't for a public adjuster, I don't think I would have learned how to scope, believe it or not. And it wasn't because the public adjuster taught me how to scope. It was because the public adjuster, when I met with him on site, was pointing at all of this stuff. And my only prayer was to write it all down. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? And I was very aware that there was somebody that was going to be grading my estimate. Very aware, you know. And even when I was an IA, when you wrote your field narrative, one of the very last things that they ask you is there a public adjuster involved? And most of the claims I worked as an IA did not have a public adjuster. I can count on maybe one hand the number of times I ran into one in the field. And this includes hurricanes,
right,
in Florida. You know what I mean? I didn't run into a ton of them. And, you know, that was the one thing that they wanted to know, because often that informed the carrier where they were, what desk adjuster they were going to assign it to. You know what I'm saying? Because they'll assign it to the field, and when it gets turned in from the independent adjusting firm, it then gets assigned to a desk adjuster. Yep. And based on the information that you've got and the estimate that you have, will determine the desk adjuster that you get. Now, different carriers do different things. Like, there are people like USAA used to have the desk adjuster and the field adjuster was the same. Okay. Travelers still does a lot of that. But anytime you have a catastrophe and they hire catastrophe adjusters to come in, most of them are field adjusters and they're there to just take pictures. And I cannot tell you guys enough, in the realm of, what you should be doing is you should be demonstrating the damages. Don't just cut them loose. And in fact, I mean, years ago, I counseled a contract, just let that field adjuster do what he does. He knows what he's doing. Just let him. And I had way too much faith in their desire to do the right thing. And I realized there was a real problem when I started reviewing files and started working. I worked for a contractor that was involved in the programs, the managed repair programs. And I saw some of these things that would come in from some field adjusters that were just, oh my gosh, terrible.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, terrible. It's crazy.
Well, you know, because they bring in 18, 19, 20 year olds out of nowhere. They train them for what? A day?
A week, if they're lucky. If they're, yeah.
Oh, I guess for her.
Yeah. Basically, what they train them on, basically, what they get is onboarding training. You know what I mean? They don't really get execution training. They get, this is the system that we use. This is how you upload your files. These are the things that you need to upload, and that's pretty much it. And you get a definition of what your photo report is. You get a definition of what your general loss report, that's what they call the field narrative on the carrier side, is a general loss report. Sometimes you're lucky enough to get a template. Some carriers only require you write a little blurb, you know, basically found damage to the living room and the roof, and that's all they'll write, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? And what I have found more and more is they're really not training adjusters. They're basically teaching them the guidelines of, if damage looks like this, then you write for it, but you write only for that damage. You don't write for any ensuing loss.
Right.
And that's basically what they're being taught now, is you write for the damage and only the damage and none of the ensuing loss that could happen. So, and a lot of that is based on the results that they've gotten from hiring people that don't know a ton about construction. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. You know, and because a lot of them are not paid based on the size of the estimate, you get a lot of spot, seal, and paint, because that is just a quicker thing to estimate for rather than the 6 line items it takes to actually perform a drywall repair.
Right.
You just spot, seal, and paint over it. And that is why, I mean, as far as who's it for, I mean, field adjusters coming out of what's being trained now, because I know and talk to, and Jess, you probably do know and talk to independent adjusters that are absolutely horrified by what they're doing to people, especially ones that really understand the construction. They're horrified by what they're doing. And back when I became an independent adjuster, the money was super good. Like, I mean, it was kind of almost like life-changing money. I remember for Hurricane Irma, we were getting $700 for getting out of the truck per claim.
That's amazing. Wow.
3 or 4 claims a day. I mean, yeah, I used to say that's stripper money, you know. Money I was never gonna make.
So
as a stripper anyway.
So it sounds like folks that are just getting into public adjusting, this is good for them. It gives them a good foundation. And then it sounds like for contractors who are maybe just fed up with hitting the wall with claims, but still have a little bit of fight left in them to go through this class. And
it's how they built their business. I mean, their business is built around working claims. Let's face it. They're claims professionals and no bones about it. Yep. But the idea that I teach contractors, and it's a little, you know, I will at some point go, okay, public adjusters, you do this. And okay, contractors, you do that, when I've got kind of a mixed crew, because what the contractor does needs to, at a level, inform what the public adjuster is doing. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like if you're a public adjuster, you handle it this way. And if you're a contractor, you handle it this way. That's really not what it is. It is a phase. So there is the contractor phase. There's the public adjuster phase. There's the appraiser phase. And then there's the attorney phase. And what do we hope? We hope it stops at the contractor phase. Wouldn't that be handy?
Right.
I mean, I remember when it used to stop at the field adjuster phase. Right. These are all phases that happen. So these are phases that happen within any given claim. But let's make no bones about it. We have to help our homeowners play offense, because they are trained and indoctrinated and propaganded to death on let the insurance company tell me what to do next. We're going to get into some upcoming plans and vision casting in the next round. Guys, I hope you're enjoying this episode. This next one is going to be a little bit of fun to talk about, and I'm going to lean on my people around me here on the show that have been a very big part of making all of this happen. Round 3 starts right after this. Are you a public adjuster, insurance roofer, or part of the restoration industry looking to streamline your first-party claims process? Let me introduce you to ClaimWizard, the ultimate tool that transforms the way you handle claims. ClaimWizard is designed with your unique business needs in mind. It offers a comprehensive suite of features that makes managing claims effortless. With its intuitive dashboard, you can easily track and manage every aspect of a claim from initiation to settlement. This powerful platform supports document management, automates workflows, and provides real-time updates, ensuring you stay ahead in the game. At ClaimWizard, they understand the importance of support. That's why they offer unmatched customer service with a team of experts who are always ready to assist you. Whether it's a technical query or guidance on best practices, Team Wizard is there to ensure your experience with ClaimWizard is smooth and efficient. Time is money, especially in the claims industry. ClaimWizard is engineered to maximize efficiency. It streamlines the entire claims process, reducing the time spent on paperwork and administration. This means faster claim resolution, increased customer satisfaction, and ultimately a boost in your business's productivity and profitability. So if you're looking to elevate your claims handling process, ClaimWizard is the solution. Try it today and experience a revolution in claims management. ClaimWizard, revolutionizing claims, handling one claim at a time.
Round 3, what's to come? All right, so we got the first one out the gate. It was successful. That was an amazing class. It was packed. The feedback's been fantastic. What's next?
Man, I don't know.
I don't know where to start.
I can
tell
you.
You don't know where to start.
I'm going
to
tell you that when somebody asked me that, I was like, hire an event planner. That's what's next. It took so much. It really took so much out of me, and I could not have done it without Baby Cakes. I mean, she essentially, so I just want everybody to know exactly, while she sits in the back and she doesn't say much, whether it's on the show, I want you to know the entire landing page at remedyclaims.com/training was produced, designed, and implemented and launched by Donna. She did it all. She set up the entire registration. She handled all of the payments that came in from it. She ordered every single stitch of swag. Her and Jessica put together the swag bags that you guys got at the event.
It's me and Ben.
You and Ben. Mm-hmm. Well, I know Jessica and I folded at least two shirts.
Yeah, you guys did the shirts.
I know
there were tons of shirts.
I know that we did that.
Yeah.
You know, there has been so much, and even maybe not related to the event, the amount of hours that Donna has spent in really scary situations running a Matterport so I could talk to contractors and get their story and talk to homeowners and get their story. All of that really helped inspire how I handle claims and how I teach others to handle claims. And I first of all, I want to say thank you to you, Donna, really and truly, for doing all of that. I couldn't do it without you. What's upcoming? Well, I would first want to throw it to you, the people, and tell me what you want to do. I can tell you that the response from the sponsors has been amazing, and the likelihood of us coming to a city near you in the very near future is highly possible. So we are going to be looking at some different states. And I think the really cool thing about controlling the narrative doesn't really have a whole lot to do with what state you're in. You know what I mean? It just simply has to do with what you do and how. I mean, would you agree with that, Jessica, when you were listening to it?
Reflecting, thinking back, I don't think there was very much that was state specific at all. We talked a little bit. You talked a little bit about timelines here and there, but you always made sure to caveat with check your state. But the bulk of it was just, I would call it PA 101.
This is your job. This is what you got to do.
101. Regardless of your state, these things should be standard across all claims, all files.
The only thing that was state specific was on the little thumb drives. I had a Texas PA contract in there. That was the only thing that was state specific.
Okay. We provided some templates and some things that we use here at Remedy Claims to just kind of help some of those guys out. We had three total firms from Florida. Shout out to GBR and Benito Paul and Preferred Claims out of Miami. They showed up. I do want to take a minute. Preferred Claims, actually not this weekend, but next weekend, is having an event at the Miami Open, which is a tennis event. I think tickets, general tickets are like $75 and VIP tickets are $105. Look them up on Facebook. Nick Pastana on Facebook. If you look him up, he can probably help you get tickets to the event. I'm sorry, I don't have a lot of information about it, but I know they're doing an event. They were able to come. It was absolutely, really cool that we had those people in there. We had somebody from North Carolina. We had some people from Oklahoma show up, those kinds of things. So the kind of the cool thing is it's not state specific because a claim is a claim is a claim, right? And the way we document it and do it, and that's really kind of what it is. So, and it's, while it is 101, it is very heavy with strategy. You know what I'm saying? It's very heavy with strategy and how you set things up. And, that's why you always should check your state as far as timelines go. I would certainly agree with that. But what the biggest thing I know is that we're going to be doing, some other cities. I also am looking at doing some private coaching groups kind of after the seminars where we create coaching groups. I know that if you're a contractor and you attended or you're interested in maybe learning some more about control the narrative and you kind of want to tailor it to your to your program and your organization, I come in and I do that. So we're going to be offering some of those coaching groups, things like that. And then again, I'm just kind of interested in what you guys want to learn as it comes to all things claim. I mean, we can drill this down. I mean, you know, Control the Narrative is a very comprehensive course. We cover a lot of things. There was a lot of feedback to state that they kind of wanted to do 2 days. You know what I mean? I don't know that I have the gas in the tank to do 2 days. I would want to bring in several other speakers to handle it. I've talked to Mr. Matt Mulholland about doing some stuff together as far as that goes. I know he's interested in doing some stuff with me. And Matt has got a great educational platform as well. So I know we were wanting to partner with him on the different things that he does. You know, and that's kind of what's in the near future and what's in the distant future. I mean, I guess the sky's the limit. I'm looking forward to kind of getting out there and hearing how different things get handled. I know like the way claims are handled, like in Florida, is really different than the way they're handled here in the state of Texas, where Texas is very document heavy. Florida is very, I remember when I was working in Florida, it was like, well, how much do you think you need? Well, I think I need about 40,000. Well, we can do 38. How's that sound? Okay, go ahead and send that over and we'll do 38. And I settled many claims, like, and I'm going to use a carrier's name. Farm Bureau did that with me a bunch. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was actually,
it is very kind of interesting. It is very strange. When you first see it, you're like, wait, is this normal? Like, where's your estimate? I need the line item estimate. Where'd you get that number from? I don't know. It's just, or we've even had attorneys, because you know, on the water mitt side, when we, you know, reach a point and we got to go to legal, they'll ask us, well, what's your bottom line? Well, what do you mean, what's our bottom line? We gave you an estimate written in Xactimate. They're like, well, you know, a lot of this
can just be settled by really
throwing
mean?
Numbers on the table.
How much do you really need to do this?
Yes, exactly.
So, and I know there are other states that are a much more heavily negotiated state. You've got a lot of states that don't, you know, like Georgia is tough to get to appraisal in. So that appraisal phase in Georgia just doesn't have good laws on the books. And I'm going to tell you, those places where it seems to be more contentious and more difficult, what you present on the front side, your first effort, your first stab at it really needs to be good. And I think that that's really the thing that sets us apart.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It is throw the kitchen sink at it as far as documentation goes. If you think it might prove what you're saying, I would give them everything it's got. I would give every single piece of redundancy that you could possibly think of to back up what you're thinking on the front side of the claim from the moment that you're involved. Those sorts of things. Control the Narrative is very, I've got a method that sort of helps disqualify some of the carrier's investigation up to that point, because we pretty much know how they want to do things, right? Knowing how they want to do things sort of kind of gives us the advantage. But I'm going to make a military analogy. There's a lot of enemies of the United States that know exactly what our warfare strategy is going to be, but that doesn't matter. And it's not going to change what we're going to do. And it certainly doesn't mean you're going to win.
Right.
So, and as public adjusters and contractors and people that are working on the side of the consumer, we are up against a behemoth. We really and truly are. And sometimes it doesn't even feel like we make a dent in what's going on. And I think one of the primary things what's going to come for public adjusters is I really want to create a community of, you know, not just encouragement and emotional support, but a place where you can get real information. And that's the whole reason I even do the Rumble week after week. You know, and coming up with different things to talk about. And, you know, we have not had just a whole lot of comments. I know a bunch of people listen. You know what I'm saying? I know that we have I certainly don't think I'm covered.
The numbers are there. What's that? The numbers don't lie. They're there.
Yeah. And then also I kind of when I have the opportunity to go to some of these, industry events. And I just want to say, I love our industry. It is so good to see those faces. I was at a reception hosted by Merlin Law Group last night, and just some of the faces, some of the Texas people I see, because when the storm's in town, Some of the faces that I see, I met some new people last night. I met a couple of new contractors. And, you know, one of the things that I hear by and large is the discouragement. I hear that frustration come out. And if nothing else, I want to be a sounding board. There is nothing that I can do that solves the actions of a bad actor.
Right.
You know what I mean? There is absolutely nothing that I can do that teaches you how to make bad faith good faith. I just can't do that. You know what I'm saying? And all we can do is provide. And that's what I think I do with Control the Narrative. And what I want to kind of focus on is making sure that we do it right. And I know that there are people like Jack Hanks and United Claims Professionals and everybody that's involved with them and the FAPIAs and the TAPIAs and the APIAs and the NAPIAs and all of those people that are really trying to raise the integrity of the industry.
Right.
That all of the different contractor associations, God bless each and every one of you guys, all of you influencers out there that are essentially just trying to raise the awareness and raise the education level. I want to partner with you. I want to come in and be a part of what you guys are doing. And this is certainly not about me, you know, dancing on any kind of stage. God, you don't want to see me dance, but
can confirm.
the only idea there is the more we truly work together. And I think a lot of people talk about that, Jessica. I think a lot of people talk about working together, but they don't really want to do what it takes. And sometimes what it takes is to step aside and let somebody else, you know, bring their excellence to the table. And I know everybody wants to be known. I get that. I get that everybody's got a brand to build and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like some of that stuff should really be more secondary. And I'm not trying to solve the problem by just simply starting another brand. You know, that is certainly not my heart or my desire or my direction or passion in any kind of way. I truly just want people to have the information that they need to properly represent homeowners and consumers when it comes to a process that is a bastardized version at best of what it was when they purchased their policy. You know, and there is no inclination to what their responsibilities are. And I know the policy will say responsibilities after all or duties after a loss.
Right.
At some level, it's also their right. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like at some level that many times during an insurance claim, they're not getting the opportunity to tell their story about what happened and why this matters to them and why this is important to them. And I think that is one of the initial parts of the process that I teach is where we sit down and, you know, whether you call it the kitchen table meeting or the living room meeting, where you sit down and you talk with the people and you get their story, because that's really the most important thing as public adjusters is we're telling their story for them. And, I know that I've been guilty of going in and going, just sit over there and let me figure out what's going on and I'll get this thing put together and I'll get it turned in and, you know, and I'm going to, you know, tell them what for, and they've never seen anything until they've seen the likes of me. I've had that attitude. I've actually absolutely had that attitude, and I don't always get the story of the pain. And I think it's really important that we start listening to these stories, because it will help us tailor what we're doing so much better, you know, and approach it. And Jess was the one. I can't tell you the number of times in the short amount of time that she was in front of the room. Now, she did an awesome job of teaching the final demand. I mean, like, there's so much information in that. Good news is it's all been filmed. I'm not real sure how we're going to use it yet. It has been filmed. We did get the whole thing on video. The thing that I would tell you is that when she was teaching the final demand, one of the biggest things that she said, and I even think you said it from the back of the room, guys, have some empathy about what's going on here. And you can't have empathy if you don't get their story. And it's just so pivotal to do that. So
So it sounds like we've got some on the road, I guess, a mobile training team that may be in the works going from, you know, city to city.
I have discussed with sponsors. Yeah. Awesome. And that's, the sponsors had such a good response from what happened. That's really what they're wanting to do.
And then it sounds like because this was recorded, there may be some opportunity for, like potentially an online learning platform of some sort.
Yeah, there is. I'm probably initially going to use the online learning platform to help get people into coaching groups because they're going to need to go through that so that I don't have to wait on something in a particular city or region. Right. They can watch the video, and that's sort of the first step into the coaching group so that we're all kind of on the same page going into that.
So then the coaching would be kind of like that advanced level that –
Yeah, it becomes a bit more bespoke. But the reason I want to do a group, because I've been doing one-on-one stuff for a while. That is one of the things that helped tailor Control the Narrative just in general. And that is obviously going to continue as people want it. But the coaching group, one of the things I like about training in a group of people is every time I have sat in a classroom, somebody inevitably asks a question that I would not have thought to ask. And I get information and clarification and direction that I would not have thought to get on my own. And that's why I find classes and groups to be so valuable.
Yeah.
Rather than just sitting in your room doing it by yourself. Oh, that took a funny turn.
What?
Sorry, Mom.
Just in time.
Okay, well, that'll end round three. Jess, do you have any final thoughts? I just want to say how thankful I am that Jess is a part of what we're doing, and she is going to be a part of controlling the narrative moving forward. Again, Jess, thank you for all that you did and making that event a success. We've got some of the initial videos and highlights that are going to be hitting social media here pretty soon.
No, it was a huge honor to be there. And thank you for that. Cause I tell you there, I don't know how to describe or explain the fulfillment that comes with instructing and just being there to answer questions and helping people grow.
Right. The kind of the funny thing was, and I don't know if I just had too much material, but each module or section, we literally had to shut down questions. We literally had to shut down. And I'm not talking about those questions that are trying to stump the teacher. Well, what if you've got a carrier that shows up and he doesn't speak any English and he won't listen to what you're doing? How do you handle it? It wasn't all of these off the wall anecdotal scenario kind of things, you know, that are impossible. And they were trying to play stump the teacher. I mean, they were really informative questions, especially the ink part. I thought we would never get out of that segment. Golly, it would just, I mean, question after question. Question after question.
I kept pointing at my wrist like, we got to move on.
And so we were running out of time. In fact, we actually ran about 30 minutes over what we wanted to do. So the narrative coming to a city near you, I hope. So go ahead.
Even with the water bottle test and like anytime the videos didn't work or something, we were like, that's okay. Like you'll get it. It's recorded. It's on or whatever. We got to move on anyway. So sometimes technical difficulties were a blessing because it helped us move along.
Man, I mean, I could have spent a week teaching Control the Narrative. I really could. I could turn it into a week course. I could turn it into the coaching group. I just think that the information that we have essentially is just really good information. And so if you want more information about it, you can email us at, can you email Control the Narrative at remedyclaims.com? Isn't that a thing that we have?
I think so. Or just email info@remedyclaims.com.
Yeah, you can email info@remedyclaims.com. You can email me. I am @claimscoach on Instagram and TikTok. I'm just Jeremy Lavelle with a black t-shirt on Facebook. You can instant message me. You can reach out to Jessica Odell. She's more than happy to help you. And Donna is Donna Marie on Facebook. And there's always Pain of the Claim. Channel on Pain of the Claim channel on YouTube, and we're Pain of the Claim on Instagram, the Pain of the Claim on Instagram, and the Pain of the Claim on TikTok, and the Pain of the Claim on YouTube. So
Jeremy is J-E-R-O-M-Y.
That's correct. But Claims Coach is common spelling. So guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you liked it, please click like and subscribe. If you know someone that needs to hear this information that wants to learn how to control the narrative, I encourage you to share it. But until next time, we will be back next week. In the meantime, stay ready so you don't have to get ready, and we will see you on the next one. Yes, we're coming up, don't even try to diminish it. I won't start it, but I damn sure will finish it.